India is such a melting pot of characters. I think that's also one reason why I found it very exciting. For me, Germany has become a little boring. Very welcoming. My in-laws are extremely cool. They are very spiritual in their own way. And my husband and a friend, a male friend of his, and I, we went to Chandni Chowk, and I was sandwiched between the two of them, actually. And still, I had a hand on my butt. I never had a culture shock when I came to India. I had a culture shock when I went to America, actually, because and I saw some dogs eating something, street dogs, like everywhere, and I was just looking close, and it was a child.
Have you faced racism in India?
I don't know if it's race. I wouldn't call it racism, but of course, people take advantage of me because I'm a foreigner.
Hi Saskia, welcome to the podcast.
Hi Akriti, thank you.
Yeah, so today we really want to discuss about reverse migration. We talk a lot about going from the east to the west. What's it like to come from the west to the east?
I mean, I've come pretty much exactly 20 years ago. I met my now husband 21 years ago, and then a year later I moved here. And initially it was extremely exciting. A lot of people told me, oh, that's brave, because India is a very exotic country, even today still. But for me, it was a big adventure. And of course, I was in love, which makes it much easier. And everybody was very welcoming. My in-laws, through Charu, my husband, firstly, I met most of my friends, because I didn't know anyone here. And Indians are just fantastic people. They are funny. They are very welcoming, very warm. I had a good time. So the initial experience was very positive.
Since you're saying the initial experience is very positive, take us through the 20 years, the two decades. Like, what are some of the ups and downs?
India is such a melting pot of characters, I would say. And I mean, there are so many backgrounds, from super rich to super poor and everything in between. And for me, coming from a country, I'm German. I think that's also one reason why I found it very exciting. For me, Germany has become a little boring. And I don't want to say mediocre, because it's not a mediocre country. But everybody's more or less on the same level. You know, we have our poverty, but of course it can't be compared to India. We have our rich people, but it can't be compared to people like Ambani or Adani. You know, it's like India is more extreme. And so I had good experiences, very welcoming. My in-laws are extremely cool. They are very spiritual in their own way, but they have never put any pressure on me. In fact, and I understood that only later, they let me stay with my husband for more than 3 years in their house without being married. And only later I found out that that's actually a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in that way, it's very good. But of course, I've experienced also harassment, which I think is normal for every woman in general, every Indian woman. I don't know if it's worse for a foreigner, but I think foreigners, and not even only women, even I've heard it from foreign men, are being stared at a lot. And then you get obscene gestures, obscene mimicry, touching. I had, the metro was quite new then, and it was from CP to Chandni Chowk. And my husband and a friend, a male friend of his, and I, we went to Chandni Chowk, and I was sandwiched between the two of them, actually. And still, I had a hand on my butt. So I've been, even taking the train, I've been touched a lot where I didn't want to. I've been stared at, and it's not like that. You know, if I saw Brad Pitt, I would stare. But the moment I realized that he senses that I stare, I would look away and give him the privacy. And I don't get that here. It's like they keep staring and staring. Certain people who were maybe not so fortunate to have a education or education of common sense. On the other hand, I've also experienced the opposite, where people are extremely sensible and sensitive and warm and understanding, and sometimes a little overprotective also.
Yeah, and I want to understand like the cultural differences, like
where
to start? Are a million of them, right? Yeah. So how was that for you? Are you still adjusting? And what are like some of the cultural shocks that you had, which you probably still cannot understand?
I never had a culture shock when I came to India. I had a culture shock when I went to America, actually, because I thought America is a Western country compared to Germany, and it's probably similar, and it is, but still it's so different. And that was in the 90s. With India, I was prepared when I came to India. I knew it's a very different country. It's a different language or different languages. And I was prepared for all things that could come. I said, you know, throw it at me, whatever comes. In that way, I was not shocked. I would call it adventurous. Even the harassment to a certain extent is adventurous. And it's part of life and it's part of the experience. Cultural differences. I have one story which I keep telling again and again because it really affected me. I've been to Varanasi only once, and I was staying there for a week. And I went with a friend, and we were staying in the Manikarnika Ghat. So there's a lot of cremation happening. And we were like, our hostel was right on the riverbanks. And so you had the smoke the whole day, and you were aware of the fact that its body's burning, and you were inhaling that the whole time. And bodies were being carried through the roads and gullies. And so one early morning, we got up at 5 o'clock, and we were walking down the Ganges, and it was not daylight yet. And I saw some dogs eating something, street dogs like everywhere, and I was just looking close. And it was a child. It was a dead child. So that is something that you would not experience in Germany. And that is only one example. I mean, this is a very drastic
I don't think
example.
That's very common. Just want to highlight that.
No, I know. Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is that there are so many things happening in India that are not common for me, maybe for you also. That is, that was like, I was completely numb. Basically, I didn't know what to make out of that. And it's one thing to see a body.
Yeah, you know.
It's one thing to see a small child being eaten, like a dead child body eaten by dogs. And then the whole background that comes with it. What family is this child from? Why is it lying there? Why didn't it get burned? And I know a lot of people can't afford the fire, so they dump or throw the bodies into the river just like that. And like these cremations really have affected me a lot. I went to Puri once also, and a friend's mother had passed away, and we went to the cremation ground, and it was close to the sea, and Puri is also a very spiritual place. Yeah. So you went to this cremation ground, and there were around 20 pyres burning. And there are these people who work there. I mean, somebody has to do the job, and they had these metal sticks, and they just kept turning the dead bodies.
Okay.
And because some people didn't have enough wood, and so it had to be.
Yeah, okay.
So because you asked about cultural differences, and so those things, I think maybe in that way, Germany is very protected. And that's what I was trying to say when I said Germany might be a little boring. Of course, there's adventure happening, and it's a great country, and we are very fortunate. And those are some examples. It didn't even shock me, but it concerns me a lot, or it affects me a lot till today, is the difference between rich and poor. And I have to quote Oprah Winfrey, even if I don't want to. But so I always, when I went to Germany, I always described India as a country of extremes. But when she came to India a few years ago, she said, it's a country of paradox. And I have to agree with that. It's very difficult to put it into words. But I think people who travel to India and who spend some time here will understand it.
I want to jump into some of the daily cultural experiences.
I mean, I find it a luxury that basically almost every day everything is open. Mm. I mean, of course, you have office times. Mm-hmm. It's like a 5-day week, like for a bank or for offices, authorities. But it's extremely convenient. If we come to, I mean, for people that have a certain background, that have a certain intellect, that have a certain amount of money, life is extremely comfortable.
Yeah.
They don't have to do anything. Mm. One thing that I found very impressive, and I tried to take it back to Germany, but my dad didn't like it, is touching the feet of the elders. And I learned that from my husband. And in the beginning, I was like, what is that? And I was explained the background. And so on a regular basis, not every day, of course, but quite often, I just, when I meet my in-laws, I touch their feet. We stay in the same building, so we see each other very often. But it's just, it's not become a habit for me, but what I've been told and what I've learned is that it's, first of all, it's an exercise for you. You have to bend down. Then it reduces your ego a little bit because you have to lower your head to someone, and then it's also a show of respect. And I appreciate that. So I'm not doing it to everyone, but obviously. I do it regularly. Like if I meet my my in-laws' siblings or good friends, then I normally I touch their feet, and I have not a problem with it at all. And I know a lot of people from the West, even some Indian people, look at it like, why are you doing this? And I've been told, like my elderly, don't touch my feet. They don't like it. No, I know Kashmiris, they don't like their feet being touched.
Another thing when it comes to Indo-German, I think language is like very, very important. So the way now we're trying to promote and say that please do not go to Germany without like knowing German. At least, I mean, that's the notion, and I think it is very important from my experience as well.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I face so much racism. You don't get jobs also.
Okay. No, I know times have changed in Germany also.
No, not for the Indians, I guess. Like, you can't get any job.
The time, it has changed to the worst.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was very concerned last year. There was an attack in one of the Christmas markets.
Magdeburg,
exactly. Yeah. And a week later, my husband came to Germany to celebrate Christmas, and I went with him to the our Christmas market, which is only 45 minutes from Magdeburg. And I was really concerned to take him because the attacker was a brown person of color.
Yeah.
And so is my husband, and he's dark-skinned also. Yeah. You know, he's not like Punjabi, little South Indian. And so I spent way more time in India than in Germany.
Yeah.
And I follow the news, obviously. Like, I mean, online you can read everything and see news. So I'm updated with most of the stuff, but of course I don't experience it yet.
So when it comes to languages, like, I feel, how much aapki Hindi kitni achhi hai?
Okay, meri Hindi achhi nahi hu, main koshish karti hu, lekin bahut mushkil hai. Mera problem hai ki mera parivar mein ve Hindi nahi but bolte hai. We Marathi or Konkani, but Karai hai. So I have not many possibilities to speak Hindi, actually, because within France, we also mostly speak English.
And did you ever feel the need ke aapko Hindi ki zarurat hai? Ke aapne kis wajah se Hindi seekha?
Hindi makes life easier. See, but I don't know how to say that in Hindi.
You don't think in today's case that is not a possibility in Germany, right? Like, I think understanding at least a certain level of German is like a high requirement. What do you think?
I mean, to be honest, I don't really know. I know from 20 years ago that not so many Germans were speaking English fluently. So that was a big reason. Like, my father and my sisters speak very rudimentary English. But now, after 20 years with the influence of media, television, film, MTV, whatever it is, way more people speak English than 20 years ago. I think it also maybe depends on where you are. Mm. When you walk through Berlin, you hear sometimes more foreign languages than German. Mm. I know in Berlin there are a lot of foreigners that don't speak German. Mm. I don't know in what way they experience racism. I know they come from all different backgrounds and countries. Mm. Like if my good friend of mine is going out with an Ethiopian, like he's African, black. And,
have you faced racism in India?
I don't know if it's race. I wouldn't call it racism. But of course, people take advantage of me because I'm a foreigner. And if you have a light skin, if you are a foreigner, it indicates that you have a lot of money.
Mm.
So if I go to places that don't have fixed rates, it's very difficult for me to get a decent rate. And I'm not talking about going to the Sabziwala where, you know, you buy something for 20 rupees and he maybe charges you 30 rupees. I'm not bargaining that, you know, because it's that I find too much.
Yeah.
I get angry with some people who try to bargain that.
Yeah.
But if you go to some market, if it's Delhi Hat or if it's you know, in Goa you have these flea markets and I get a feeling they want to rip me off, then I either say okay, I don't buy it, or I try my best to, if I really wanted to bargain the rate. And if it's too expensive, then I don't buy it. But I like if I go and I buy a matka, like a water pot, I know Indians would pay around plus minus 400 rupees, I pay 700-800 rupees. So I see my husband. So, and they will not sell it to me for less because they think I have the money.
Yeah.
And,
So almost like a decade ago, you were working as an activist in India as well, right?
And activist sounds so, sorry, I didn't even let you finish the question.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Please continue.
Yeah. I mean, I know I've said activist before, but there are people who are real activists, and I'm not one of those people. But I was active with causes that concerned me. One of them was the garbage situation in all over India, actually, and that there was no real system of getting rid of it. I mean, yes, it's being picked up, but then it's being dumped somewhere else. It's in places that are being developed that things are just being filled up with garbage. Like we have hospitals around here, and we had a natural nala here in Gurgaon. And the hospital just dumped their waste there. The construction sites just dumped their malba there. And it just got more and more and more. And so a few neighbors, Indians, and I, we went around and we got a petition signed. And we tried to improve the situation. And we went to some authorities and we were on the media. And we were not really successful. That's a bummer. What I see is that in the last 10 years, it has improved a little bit on its own. The burning of garbage has become less. When like 10 years ago, 12, 15 years ago, there was so much burning of garbage happening. And in our area especially, and sometimes it was so foggy. It was proper fog, like you have in January in Delhi. It was not January in Delhi, it was fog, and it was toxic. And so way before the pandemic, I was wearing masks. So that has improved a little bit. The couple of neighbors and I, as I just said, we had, you know, gone around different areas of our neighborhood. We have been to more than 100 houses probably to get a petition signed and to show this petition to the respective authority. First of all, not many out of 100 houses, we got maybe 50 signatures, which is very less if you consider that maybe in one house there are four people staying, mm-hmm. and out of 400 people we got 50 signatures. Mm-hmm. And then when we wanted to go to the authorities, maybe 10 people came mm-hmm. with us. So it was never more than 15 people mm-hmm. that were able to go to the authorities. Mm-hmm. We went to the authorities, they sent us from A to B, from B to C, from C to D, from D to A, mm-hmm. like deputy commissioner, police commissioner, yeah. forest department, water department, we went everywhere. And yeah, we changed it, nothing really happened. So that went on for 6 years. We were on Hindustan Times, on Times of India, India Today, different things to try to raise awareness, mm-hmm. but it just kept going on. And so the dumping of garbage just increased a lot. And at some point I was just, my God, this is so bad. So many trucks are coming. And I called the police. So I don't know in what way they were able or not able to help. I just know that in the evening I got a call from one of the people who dumped garbage and got threatened. So it was so bad that my husband took me out of Delhi to Bombay for two weeks. It was quite serious. So that was not a very pleasant experience. And after that, after planting like 150 trees or so, yeah. but then I left Gurgaon for some time, for a few years. I stayed in India, but I was not staying in Gurgaon because I was scared and I was scared for my life. And I don't know what it means when somebody's doing this. It could be killing. It could be, you know, somebody's throwing acid or hot oil at you. And I was like, okay, it's not supposed to be. So I don't want to be here right now.
Okay.
So yeah, I stayed somewhere else, and then I came back after 8 years, and I've become older. The situation has changed. I leave it to other people to be activists now. I do small things here and there, and we have certain causes that we support. But I'm not going to Janta Manta anymore. I used to go there regularly. But I mean regularly. Yeah. But once in a while, for different reasons. It was air pollution, gay rights, all these things.
You like watching Bollywood, right? And you also work in films.
Yes.
So who's like your favorite actor?
In India?
Yeah.
Nasiruddin Shah.
Oh, wow.
I love him. I met him once. I was working with him. Oh, I love him. He is the kindest, sweetest, funniest person. And there's a small anecdote.
Oh, please share.
So we did the project where I met my husband. That was in 2004. And Nasiruddin Shah was one of the actors.
Okay.
And I mean, at that time, he was like big.
Yeah.
And my husband and a friend, they were also, of course, big fans of his. Mm. And we had like a small movie hall in our campus. And so my husband and his friend went to Nasiruddin Shah and asked, I would have to ask my husband which film it was. Yeah. But it was one of his films. We have it here. Would you watch it with us?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, sure, we'll do it, you know, on the weekend in the evening. So they organized it and they set up the Bima or whatever it was. And I also went there and it was in Hindi and I didn't speak any Hindi and I didn't understand. But of course, I understood that Nasiruddin Shah is a big actor. I mean, that's what I've been told. I didn't know him, but that's what I've been told. And these two young men were really exciting. So we were sitting there and we were on the ground. It was not a proper movie hall, but we had like pillows on the ground. And I started watching And then at some point it was like, Saskia, wake up. So Nasiruddin Shah woke me up because I was watching his film with him and fell asleep.
Oh my
and I was
God.
Like, oh God. So he had a good humor. And in the beginning, it took me some time to fall asleep. And it's not because the film was bad. It's because we were like working 15, 16 hours a day and I was just exhausted. But I realized, so people were laughing in certain scenes because it was a comedy.
Yeah.
And Nasiruddin Shah was laughing outside of that, right. like in other situations. So I was thinking maybe he remembers the situation yeah. And not like the scene in the story, but so cool. What happened while they were shooting. Yeah, so it was nice. That was quite funny. I've seen Angry Indian Goddesses.
Oh, but love that movie.
I worked on that one.
Ooh, fancy.
And I've seen Being Cyrus. I worked on a few, but it's small films, art house films. I'm not a spiritual person, but still I have an experience. I don't follow any gurus. I'm actually not a big fan of that. I know some people who have a calming aura, but nobody knows them. It's just they're doing it for themselves. But if you're like a little stressed, they take your hand and you calm down. but my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, they are both very spiritual people. My father-in-law is doing his puja every day, like proper, and you know, with a bell and some patati and these things. And he's from Karnataka. And he rebuilt and renovated his ancestor's house, actually, with his brothers. And there was a puja happening to, how do you say it, to initiate, like, to, it's like a warmer party. I mean, I can't think of the word right now.
Housewarming.
Housewarming. Yeah. I think a lot of Indian households have their own god, ghost story, spirit story, and so do my in-laws. Mm. And for the spirit, partly was this puja also, and it went on for 5 days. So there was a small puja for 3 days and a big puja for 5 days. And the small puja was with two pandits. And then the big puja, we had a break of 1 week in between, was with five pandits. And I asked our family pandit about, you know, why aren't you doing it? Yeah. Because you are from the same community. And he says, you know, you can compare to doctors. I'm a heart surgeon. They are neurosurgeons. So it's like they have a deeper knowledge, a deeper thing. They live somewhere in the jungle. They came with a big car. Yeah. So I'm sure they make their money. But there was this night puja that we had, and the whole family came. We were 30 plus people, 40 people almost. We were all staying in this house, and these pandits, they have these small boards that they sit on these flat boards, and they had their little stones and they had their little scriptures, and they were, everybody like was doing their thing. And then at some point one of the pandits started chanting. And then after a minute or so, the next pandit started chanting something else. First pandit continued chanting. Then the third joined in. The fourth and the fifth, they all were chanting something different at the same time, but it harmonized so beautifully. And after this puja, the whole vibe and the atmosphere and the mood in the house changed. It was, in the beginning, it was, you know, it was a new building. It was, nothing was set up yet. There was no proper furniture. It was still very raw. And there was, they say there are some evil spirits because, you know, like these old houses have gold hidden somewhere. And some people have cursed that house so that they can buy it cheaply and get the gold. So allegedly this puja was there to get rid of these evil spirits. And I don't know what happened, but something happened, because the next day it seemed like the sun has enlightened that house. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just good vibes, this chanting. It was, I still get goosebumps when I think of these 5 days, even though it was some village in Karnataka in the middle of nowhere in the jungle. And very simple, nothing. I mean, you couldn't even buy bread there, you know? And that was really, really a very intense experience.
So this one question that I ask all my guests in the end is, what is the one advice you have for someone who wants to go beyond the border?
I think be curious. Be as adventurous as you can. Be courageous but careful at the same time. Be spontaneous, I think. And do it all with a big amount of humor,
okay. I think. If given a chance, would you like, do you regret anything that you did in the last 20 years?
I'm sure there are regrets.
No, I mean, but, yeah. Like moving countries. So
no,
that's what
not at all. Not at all. I'm, because I always had the chance to go back to Germany. Mm-hmm. And we even talked about it, my husband and I, if we should move to Germany. But I didn't want to go because life in India is never boring, with all mm-hmm. the ups and downs, but it's never boring.
Okay. Well, thank you. That was it. Thank you so much for staying until the end. To help us continue these conversations, please subscribe on YouTube and like and follow on Instagram and Spotify.